I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans. Now, if you would, just follow me tonight. I want you to keep your Bibles open. And I want to look at, won't give you the title just yet, but I want to look at Romans chapter number 5. Boy, this is a great chapter in your Bible. Romans chapter number 5. I had an opportunity to preach at prison this morning, and I tell you, they'll help you in prison. And I don't know why church folks won't help you. I mean, we're leaving here in a few minutes. They're not. Amen? They're not. They're not going nowhere. One guy said, I've been in here, and he's an old man. He said, I've been in here 26 years, and he said, I'm not getting out. He said, but you know what? I figured I'd just have a good time being in here and just serving God in there. Boy, I tell you, I wish we'd have that attitude. He said, you're trying to get me to say amen? Absolutely. Absolutely. I would rather come to a church service where it's alive than dead. Amen? And so, I don't know if you helped Brother David this morning. I hope you did. I hope you helped the man out. I got a lot of bowed heads right there, brother. They didn't help you out. Well, don't do me like you did, Brother David. Help me out. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, what's all mean? That's everybody. Look down at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, there's all men, to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one man, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Man, so you find there that all have sinned. Then it says that all men were under condemnation. I like what Brother Larry Thoreau said one time. I went soul winning with him, and he said, he was talking to a man there in the park, and he said, your problem is you were born wrong. Right. Our problem was we were born wrong. Right. Amen? We were born under the sin and curse of this world. Amen? And the Bible tells us that we're under condemnation. We're under condemnation. Now, if you've been saved, thank God that that's been removed. Amen? But you know, I looked the word condemnation up. The Bible said the act, or the dictionary said the act of condemning. The judicial act of declaring one guilty and dooming him to punishment. That was us. I mean, I don't care if you were born in this church. I appreciate Stephen's testimony. I appreciate Jordan being born here and raised here. But let me tell you something. All of us are filthy, rotten, no good sinners. Amen. And we don't even deserve to be in this. I don't care if you were born in this. We were all under condemnation. We were all guilty. Every little person, every big person, every medium-sized person, amen, we're all guilty according to the Word of God. We were under condemnation. We were living on death row. I mean, condemnation. See, a lot of people don't think that way, especially when you grow up in a good church. And I'm just going to tell you, I thank God that my kids, amen, I thank God that Connor at age 15 realized he was living under condemnation. I thank God that Corey just realized he was living under condemnation. Me preaching and in the ministry has nothing to do with them going to heaven, amen. They were living under condemnation, and they needed to be born again and washed in the blood. And I'm going to tell you, it might help some of you to realize that you were guilty before God. And my friend, you need to be born again and washed in the blood. For so long in our independent Bible believers, especially at youth camps, we don't preach on salvation. We don't preach on that because we assume everybody's saved. We assume that they've been taught right and preached right. And I'm going to tell you something. Our children need to see themselves as a sinner on their way to hell. Amen. They need to see that. You're saying you're trying to talk me out of my salvation. Come and talk me out of mine. You say that's being arrogant. No, I'm going by what the Bible says. And my friend, I had to see myself at 27 years old. I had to see myself under the condemnation of the Word of God, and I was condemned and on my way to hell, my friend. I had to see that myself. I don't care if I grew up in a Christian home. I don't care if my grandmother was godly. I don't care if my grandfather was godly. None of that matters, amen. Thank God that I had a little bit of a bigger advantage over somebody else. At least I got prayed for it. But I'm telling you tonight, we need to see that ourselves, we're under condemnation, and we deserve hell. I think about this. I don't know if any of y'all read this sermon. There's a little booklet, and you've heard of Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And I read that booklet, and you know the thing that got me is he used an illustration as somebody fixing to squash a bug, amen. And every time I'm out walking on the track or walking in my driveway and I see those ants going across there, do you know all I have to do is crush them? All I have to do is walk over them. But my friend, that's just like God. All God has to do is crush us. But thank God that not only was there condemnation, but there was mercy. He showed us mercy. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We have condemnation. We were all under condemnation. Everybody in this building at one time in your life was under condemnation. And if you're saved, thank God there's no more condemnation. Amen. But if you're lost, you're under the condemnation of God. And the judgment of God will be passed upon you. He's already judged our sins at Calvary. And my friend, those men got up this morning and I let them sing as long as they're not out of order. And I told them not to get out of order. And they sung a song, "If I don't make it to heaven, it's my fault." That's what they sung. And I got up behind them. I said, "You're absolutely right, it's your fault. It ain't God's fault. You're going to have to go over the blood and the Bible and the preacher, amen. If you die and go to hell, it's your fault." And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I would hate to die and go to hell in an independent Bible-believing Baptist church where a preacher, an old-time preacher, has preached the gospel to me and I've heard the gospel. I'd hate to go to hell in a church like this. I'd hate to go to hell from sitting in the pews. But look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 1. "And He had quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in the times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we have had our conversations in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Amen. That paints a bad picture right there of us. Amen. But I like verse number 4 when God butts in. Amen. God said, "But God." Amen. Now that ought to make at least some of you that ain't never waved your hand. That ought to make at least try to get it about right here. Amen. But it said, "But God." Amen. I don't think you understand what God's done. He just butted in our life. He said, "But God, who is rich." Who is rich in mercy, my friend? Thank God. The law came through Moses. And the law cried, "Justice! Justice!" But grace come through Christ. And He cried, "Mercy! Mercy!" I'm going to tell you tonight, I thank God for the mercies of God. I thank God that I'm sitting in a church tonight, and I got my right mind, my friend, and I'm among friends that love God. I'm going to tell you, I'm just about to have a fit. I've been so blessed. God's been good to me. I'm telling you, He's been good. He's rich in mercy. What are you trying to say, preacher? I was condemned by God. I was condemned by God. I was condemned by God. Who is rich in mercy? Woo! I'm excited, man. Why is that? Because I'm going to heaven, amen. I don't care who wins the election, amen. I got my preferences, but it ain't going to make no difference. Because God butted into my life. February 11, 1996, the Holy Ghost of God drew me to the altar. And there I found mercy. I was under condemnation, but I found mercy, amen. Boy, I feel like I'm preaching to some astronauts or something, amen. I think I'm down on the reservation. Nobody's saying nothing. You say you're trying to, hey, do you understand what God done for us? No, you don't. I don't even understand what He done for me. I really don't. Let's just be honest with you. Why should we even be here tonight? I mean, why should we have hold the truth in our hands when there's millions that don't have it? Why should we be able to come in this church without the fear of the law coming? Why is God that good to us? Y'all ain't getting this, teenagers. Y'all ain't getting it. Then y'all ain't getting it. Corey, God had to butt in my life so you could sit in the church house. Connor and Kelsey, amen. We just take it for granted. I'm telling you, we were condemned. I guarantee if you were sitting in jail tonight, if you were sitting in lockup tonight, you wish somebody come by and show you mercy. You'd be saying, hey, judge, can you kind of let me out? We were sitting in jail. The jail of sin. One day the judge come by. Boy, he had the book on us. I mean, he had the book. I mean, all through these pages, you know what it said? You're guilty. I mean, there ain't no good thing in here about me. I mean, he had the record. And all he had to do was throw it at me. He said, no, I'll give you mercy. Now I looked up the word mercy. It's got a long definition, and I'm going to read it because I like it. Because y'all ain't getting the rest of this, amen? Maybe I'll go preach it to some saved folks, and maybe they'll get it. I'm trying to provoke you. You know what I found out about Canadians? You can provoke them. I provoked them. One guy scared me half to death. I provoked him so much. I ain't lying. He scared the fire out of me. I got to preaching on how I've been blessed. Boy, I'm telling you, he come out of his seat, man. He's slinging the Bible at me. I'm thinking, my goodness, I'm going to get cut up here. He got provoked. Something down in him started stirring. I mean, he got provoked. Let me go ahead and tell you, I'm thinking he's the typical nut of the meeting every year he does that. I went to Brother Brandon and I said, who was that guy? He said, that's the pastor of the church you're staying at. I said, has he ever done that? And he looked at me, hi, Brother Brandon's got some big old eyes, amen. He said, he ain't never done that. While he was doing that, here comes a Louisiana raging Cajun, amen. He comes running around to say, what happened? Something provoked him. I wonder if it was thinking about mercy. I wonder if they just started thinking about how blessed we've been. Y'all ain't getting this. Maybe I'll save this for the saved folks. Amen. Are y'all understanding where you were at? Probably not. Y'all probably don't understand where you were at. Y'all don't understand. Maybe you didn't understand my testimony when my wife left me. Amen. I know some of you said that she ought to leave you now. I understand that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, we sat in a house that God provided and vehicles that God provided. Amen. And food God provided. Woo! I'm telling you, my friend, I've been blessed because of the mercy and grace of God and the long-suffering of God. I shouldn't even be here tonight. I shouldn't be preaching, but God put it into my life, my friend. Y'all ain't getting this. I'm telling you, He's rich in mercy. He's so good. Why in the world would you not come to Him? You like living in condemnation. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. But He said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Amen. Why wouldn't you come to Him? Y'all ain't got this yet. Let me read the definition. Amen. Man, I like what it said. I looked this word mercy up, but it says that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries. We were there that day when they whipped him and said, no, it wasn't your sins were. And to overlook injury, and it says, or to treat an offender better than he deserves. Well, that right there... Man, I'm fixing to blow up. I'm telling you. You saying you're trying to provoke me? I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying to provoke some of you. But to realize what we got. I mean, to realize how good God's been to us. I mean, we were condemned. Y'all didn't get that part. We were condemned. We don't deserve to be in here. Is there anybody in here that would say they deserve to be here? Not one of us deserve to be here. But we're reaping the benefits, amen, and the blessings, amen. Thank God. It also says this. It says the disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injury and to forbear punishment or to inflict less than the law or justice will warrant. That's mercy. Then it goes on to say this. That which come nearest to it, they're talking about in, well, let me read this. In this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language. This is Webster, what Webster said. There's no word in our language to really describe mercy. That ought to get you to think. I mean, he said, there's not even a word in the dictionary to really describe what God done for us. Man, that's good. It says, the nearest to it would probably be grace. The nearest to it. I'm telling you folks, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of coming to church and not worshiping God. I'm just going to be honest. I'm tired of coming and not helping the preacher anymore. I mean, I want our preacher to know that I know that I was under condemnation, but one day mercy walked through the door. And I'm going to tell you, you want to see our preacher preach like he ain't preached in a long time. You want to see people get on fire for God and start doing things again. Let's get behind each other. Let's realize where we come from. And we ain't arrived yet. And none of us deserve to be in this building. But one day, we were condemned and mercy walked in and saved us and taught us how to babble, amen, and showed us how to serve God and love God and serve each other, and that's where we need to get back, amen. But we got to a point, we just arrived, and we're good about being here. I'm not good about just being here. I want God to know He's worthy. I want Him to know He's worthy. And I want our preacher to get up in the pulpit and say, thank God for the liberty to preach. Thank God for people that's excited about God again. I'm telling you, we can help our preacher out and we can help one another out if we realize where we come from. You kids, it would be an encouragement to others if you would learn how to say amen. Say, I'm not that type of person. Well, they were over at my house the other day and they were raising a ruckus, Josh. Don't act like I saw you back there. I was saying, I got four eyes on you. We need four eyes instead of two eyes on that one. I love Josh. I do. He's my buddy. He didn't help me when I was sick. He just let her lay in there and die, but I love him anyway. Now that was just the introduction. Can I give you this little thought? We'll go to the house. When condemnation meant mercy. Could you go over to the book of Luke 23, chapter 23? I mean, folks, I know we can't have camp meeting every Sunday. I understand that. I understand there's going to be times we're going to drag in problems. And I understand there's going to be times that we're down. But you know what I figured out? God ain't broke. You know what I figured out? God ain't depressed. Amen. My friend, God's up there just wanting to show out, amen. He's just wanting to be welcome somewhere. And I want people to know that God's still at Glory Land Baptist Church, that He ain't worth Ichabod on the door. And you say it don't have to be a shout or out, but I still want the presence of God. And I want God to know that I'm nothing and I don't deserve anything, my friend. But I want Him to know I thank God for the mercy and the grace and the long suffering of God. Luke 23, verse 32. Let me read this here. And there was also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him, the malefactor, one on the right and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. I think some of the sweetest words he ever spoke on the face of the earth. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiments and cast lots, and the people stood beholding him, and the rulers also with them deriving him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription was also written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which hung railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou in the same condemnation? And we indeed, justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deed, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Amen. Now, I want to just talk to you just real briefly on that subject about 10 minutes, if you give me that, about 10 minutes on when condemnation met mercy. Can I tell you something, my friend? He set apart up here, Dost thou not fear God? Can I tell you, my friend, they don't fear God out there, and they don't fear God in here, my friend. We come to a place in our own country where they're marching up and down in the streets, and they've drawn the line, and boy, I'm telling you, they're throwing their fists in God's face and saying they're cursing God and mocking God and provoking God. But I'm telling you, my friend, it's time for the church, amen. It's time for us to realize how good God's been to us and to stand for God. I'm telling you, you're going to be ridiculed and you're going to be mocked. My friend, I'm telling you though, we must take a stand for God. We must do it, because they're not. Not too long ago, was on AL.com, and they were advertising the atheist group of Alabama. I didn't even know we had any atheists in Alabama, but obviously we do. They were putting up billboards all over St. Clair County, and the word was the John Lennon song, hopefully you don't know it, Imagine No God, amen. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Stephen, I got hot, 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 amen. I'm telling you, I got so mad I wanted to kick my monitor in, but you know what, all of a sudden God took that little saying, Imagine No God. And boy, I'm going to tell you, about that time the Holy Ghost flooded my soul, and I started imagining. And about there was no God, but then I imagined where I would be tonight without God. I started imagining, yeah, what if that time was true? What if it was true and there was no God? But I'm going to tell you tonight, my friend, I know there's a God. I know, because He does what I could not do. My friend, I started thinking about the grace of God and the mercy of God and where I was when God found me. And thank God that there's mercy. There's mercy at the sea. There's mercy at the cross, my friend. I thank God for those signs, because I had a revival. Amen. And I ought to send that to the atheist group and said, thanks for the revival. Amen. Can you imagine, Nathan, if there was no God, where you would be? Could you imagine, Corey, if there was no God, where you would be? You girls, where you would be if there was no God? We'd just be men most miserable. We'd just be going to work 8 to 5 Monday doing the rat race. But today, we got the hope that one day that trump is going to blow and we're getting out of here, my friend. It's because on that cross, He demonstrated mercy. Do you imagine where you'd be without God? Where my wife would be without God? I tell you one thing, we wouldn't be sitting out at 9311 Shiptown Road. That little girl wouldn't be here. And this little boy wouldn't be here. And ain't no telling where he'd be. It ain't no telling what he'd be doing now, amen. He's rough when he's saved. I can imagine when he's lost. Can you just imagine if God said, okay, you don't want me? Fine. I won't be there. We sing that song, Patches, and everybody gets stirred up. But I'm going to tell you, thank God for His mercy. Thank God He stretched out. I'm trying to drive this home because you don't realize that we've sat in our churches and we've let the world take over. We let the world take over our churches. We let the world take over our communities and our towns and our families. And my friend, we were all guilty under the law. And God could have threw us in hell. But on Calvary's cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank God for mercy. Now, this guy on the cross, this thief on the cross, got 5 minutes. Let's see if I can get these 3 points in. How did he find mercy? Number one, he had to realize his condition. Look at verse 39. And one of the malefactors was hung railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But watch this. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation? Verse 41, for we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. I won't tell you the problem today is a lot of people ain't realized their condition. Well, that man on the cross, you said, how do I know he realized his condition? You read the other Gospels, and the Bible said they both railed on him. They both rebuked him, but something happened to him on that cross. He finally saw who he really was. He was a thief. He was a sinner, and he was on his way to a devil's hell, my friend. And that's where we got to get when we teach the people salvation and preaching it. They got to see where they're at. I'm sick of this. You just want to come to Jesus, come right now. Just pray this little prayer. I'm telling you, folks, we are damning people to hell doing that. We're taking the Holy Ghost of God out of it. I'm preaching what I believe. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying these kids ain't saved in here. I'm not saying you're not saved in here. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't get saved until I realized my condition. And I told my kids, I said, all of them down. And you can ask my kids if I'm not telling the truth. I told them I want them to come to me. I don't care if they confess Christ 555 times. I don't care. I don't care if it hair lifts everybody in this church. I don't care if everybody gets mad. I want to know that my kids know that they got in the family of God, that they've been birthed in the family of God. Can I just give you a little bit of Corey's testimony? Would that be all right? Or do you want me to close it up right here? You tell me. All right, I was going to give it to you anyway. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, we're sitting there, and I'm telling you something, my friend. I don't have a lot of problems out of Corey, but there's just sometimes that it just didn't feel like something was right. And he got he made a profession at an early, early age. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I'm not saying people can't get saved at that age. Please don't misunderstand me, but I'm going to tell you something, my friend. God began to deal with me about my boy not being saved. Now, you can believe what you want to. I'm just telling you, God began to deal with me about Corey. And as soon as I was sitting here when that man was preaching in Canada, God said he ain't saved. I didn't say go to him and say, well, God told me he wasn't saved. I called him into the room they were staying in. I said, son, is everything all right? Yes, sir. Is everything all right? Yes, sir. I said, Corey, if you died right now, heaven be your home. Yes, sir. I didn't push it anymore. Tanya come in there and said, what in the world were you talking to him about? I said, I'm just going to be honest with you. God told me he wasn't saved. Boy, we began to talk, and I loved that knock on the door. Knock came on the door. Tears running down his face, and said, Daddy, I'm lost. Not saved. You know what he had to realize? Kids, you know what he had to realize? He had to realize his condition. Right there, he got in between me and Mama in the bed. He asked the Lord to save him. I'm not saying these kids ain't saved. I'm just saying, have you realized your condition? Wouldn't it be sad if we stand at the white throne judgment, Brother David, and some of the members of this church die and go to hell? Because you never realized your condition. I'm telling you, folks, you're just one heartbeat from meeting God. And if I didn't know tonight, I'd get it straight, man. I'd get it straight. I mean, I'm telling you, this man was on the cross and he was condemned tonight. And he said, hey, leave him alone. But we're guilty. We're guilty. He ain't done nothing wrong. You got to realize your condition. He realized his condition. But boy, I like this part. Let me give you this little second thought here. Look at verse 41 again. He said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deed. Now watch this little phrase. Maybe I ain't never seen it before. And if you've seen it, I'm sure you shouted it out too. But it said, this man had done nothing amiss. Now 42, something happened between 41 and 42. Why do you know that? And he said unto Jesus, Lord. He wasn't just a man then. He just wasn't a story in the Bible then, amen. I'm telling you, he recognized who Christ was. He said he went from this man to Lord, amen. And I'm going to tell you something. He's not just some character in the Bible. He's real. He's our Savior. He's the Lamb of God. He's the only one that can take away sin. And my friend, you got to realize it's Him, amen, and it's out. I'm going to tell you, something happened there between him between 41 and 42. He started seeing who he was. He started seeing that lamb on that cross. He was seeing him bleeding and dying for his sins. But when he was guilty and he was not guilty, it was the just dying for the unjust, my friend. And I'm going to tell you, we've got to see our condition and we've got to recognize who Christ is. Do you know who He is? I know you might know of Him, but do you know Him? Brother David, I'm going to tell you what got it for me. All my life, I've heard this statement. Jesus Christ has, for God so loved the world. Amen, John 3:16. And boy, all my life, I heard that Jesus Christ had died for the sins of the world. But February 11, 1996, Corey, your daddy saw him hanging for me, amen. I wasn't concerned about nobody else. I went from the world to me, the world to me. He was bleeding and dying for me. It was my sins on that cross. It was my sins. My friends have put him there. That's where you got to get. You got to get to a point where you see your condition, you realize your condition, and you recognize who Christ is. I don't know about you, but He ain't never let me down. And I don't think He's fixing to start letting me down. I mean, I think about Brittany and Jeffrey, amen, that little baby. Think about them bringing them back here, man, what a blessing. I think about all these kids that's gotten saved and what God's done for our church. You know what? I think about our preacher when he get up and he can walk in the pulpit. We ain't got to drag him up there. What are you trying to say, preacher? That's the mercy and the grace and the long-suffering of God Almighty to us. And I tell you, we're not worthy to receive that grace. But thank God that He's done what He's done in our church. And we've seen God move. And we've seen God do great things. And I don't want it to die. I want to see God moving again amongst us. Amen. I don't just want to go to church and Brother Tony said, did God die? I want Him to know that God still lives in my heart. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I spit on Him because He's my son. Let me give you this last thought. Boy, we got to realize our condition. Now let me say, if you're saved, have you realized your condition since you've been saved? Well, I come to church, preacher. Your body's coming and that's about it. Well, I'm tired of just coming to church. I'm tired of just getting up to preach just a 3-point outline and everybody might say amen every now and then. I'm just tired of all that. Boy, you gotta realize your condition. Then you gotta realize who Christ is. Boy, if we really realized who He was, there ain't one of you can keep your tongues back. They ain't one. I'm telling you, I don't care if you ain't never shouted in church. They ain't one of you. If you really realize who he was. You said you're trying to provoke me. Yep. Trying to provoke you. Because I'm going to tell you something. He's been way better to me than I have ever been to him. Listen, if he stops blessing me today, I guess I just have to take it because I sure haven't treated him right. Hey, I think I deserve a new car. I don't deserve nothing. I don't even deserve to be in this church. I don't deserve a good family. The way I've treated my family since I've been saved. Why God just didn't take them then. I'm just trying to tell you, I've been struggling just like everybody else. But see, I've got to realize where my condition is. Where's my heart at? When's the last time you told somebody in the church you love them? Put your arm around them. Say, I'm praying for you. You don't know what's going on in this church right now. You don't know the battlefield. You don't know the depression. You don't know what's going on in this church. There could be somebody right now. They're ready to quit. They're ready to get out. And if you just go explain to them how good God is and lift him up and let them see Christ highly exalted, maybe it'll encourage them to keep on going. I think about all the kids that left. If I could have just said something that would encourage them, if I had hugged them and told them I loved them a little bit more, if I had prayed for them a little bit more, I just tell you, my friend, I could have done more. I know I could have done more to help them out, but my friend, I didn't recognize where my condition was. Has your heart ever got hardened? Have you ever wanted not to come back? Give up? There's been many a night that said, I'm done. And it ain't got nothing to do with nobody in this church. I love everybody in this church. I hope I don't have any off against any of you in this church. If I do, I'll make it right after church. But I'm going to tell you something. It got to a point I was sick and I was tired. And if all I was going to do is come to church, I'd just stay at the house and be bitter and angry. And what we've seen, guys, is while we've been in here, we hadn't recognized our condition, and there's been people leaving, and there's been people walking out the door, and we're still here saying, well, it's just half church. We ain't recognized our condition. Amen. If we recognize our condition, then we'll start looking up and seeing who God is. Last thing I want to say, he realized his condition. He recognized who Christ was, but he received clemency. Now, I looked that word up, clemency, a little fancy word for me, but this is what it means, mercy. Disposition to treat with leniency, to forgive, or watch this, to spare, as offenders, tenderness in punishment, opposed to severity, harshness, or rigor. He said, Lord, remember me. I'm going to tell you something about mercy. I didn't look this verse up. If you won't extend mercy, God won't extend it to you. And you might have an alt with a brother or sister in here. You might be mad at them. I'm just going to say, God extended us mercy. We have sat here and we've not recognized and realized our condition. And people's left. There's teenagers in here right now. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I know this for a fact. That are ready to leave. What could we have done more? Could we extend that hand to mercy? One day condemnation met head first with mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy. It says this, and I'm going to close. It says this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Say, preacher, I can't love them. You can let God love them through you. God, preacher, I can't forgive them. You can let God forgive them through you. Until we realize our condition. You know what God done? Lord, remember me. Lord didn't say, I don't know, I got to think about it. You know what He said? Today. 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 He said this, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Say, preacher, when can I get it fixed today?